who Christ is in me, I can live in His presence. Amen. That's the good news. It struck me this week that when a parent has a child, they got so much love for their child. Parents, you remember how you felt, the first one. And you got so much love for their child, and they're so cute and so beautiful, and you just want to eat them up. I mean, they're toddlers, sometimes you wish you had, you know. But then you think, can I ever love anything else like this? That any of you feel that way? It's like you've got so much love for this person. And then another child comes along and you get a whole lot of love for that person. And then the next child comes and you get the same. It's like, do you know, it just keeps returning. Now imagine God, how God feels about you this morning. You know, we often hear Him, it said, God loves us. And often us is just like this mush of this like umbrella God's love over this like mush. But we forget that when you showed up, God could love you with a whole new love like He never had before. You gave God the capacity, if I can say it like that, to love someone else with all the love that He's always loved everybody else with. You individually. And here's what really makes it tweaked for me. This really puts it on steroids, this concept, is that, do you know, if you've got more than two or three kids, you definitely feel a different love towards different children. It's still love, but it's kind of a different love. Grandkids, kids, how many grandkids you guys got? 10. That's a whole lot of loving going on. Now, I'm sure with each grandchild, you love them all, but there's a different kind of love to different. And here's the thing. Here's the sweetness of it. Is that God loves you with a unique love that He loves nobody else with. Just let that sink in. No one has ever existed before, and no one is going to exist into the future that God has got the same identical love for. It's nuanced, peculiar, and specifically and directed towards an individual. Isn't that awesome? I can stand before God and say, God, no one has existed before, no one will exist after me that you have this exact kind of love for. Even though you love everybody 100%, there's a nuance of love that you have for Wally that you don't have for anybody else. A nuance of love that you have for Pierre, that you have for nobody else. A nuance of love that you have for Russ, that you have nobody else. A nuance of love that you have for Jen, that you have for nobody else. It's a unique love. Come on, that was just okay, that had nothing to do with what I'm going to say now. I just thought I'd share that with you. And you came in this morning, you received the notices, so you know everything about what's going on in this church. All right, the big one coming up. Next Sunday night, everyone remember, Finney and Izzy are with us over here in the front. Next Sunday night, Hoppers 5. Finney used to minister with Rob Rufus, who we have an apostolic relationship with other churches around the world. And Finney is just such a blessing. You can't get around Finney and not fall more in love with Jesus. So I want to encourage you, next Sunday night, do not miss the ministry that he's going to have here. There is a conference down in Salt Rock over the whole weekend. If you want to get down to that, it's going to be great. It's the whole day Saturday. And then Sunday night here, a couple of other churches are going to be joining us. We're just going to have a good time. Amen. So let's not forget that. And then if you're visiting here this morning, a big welcome. I see we've got some visitors at the back there against the wall with a red shirt. Why don't you guys stand up? So nice to have you guys visiting with us this morning. All the way from Vietnam, is it? From Vietnam, nice having you guys with us. That guy is going to be at the lounge over there. And if you're visiting this morning, don't you want to just raise your hand? So there's a lady there. Nice to have you visiting. Anybody else visiting? Welcome. Welcome at the back there. And if you're visiting, come along here to the lounge where you'll be treated to a cappuccino and a good time of meeting a couple of folk in the church. So that's to welcome visitors. And then Teresa's wanting to meet with the group of ladies she'd arranged with to talk about Bethel worship training. And those folk would want to meet with her straight after the service. She'll be up front here, those folk. And I think that's about it, eh, Terry? Got it all down. Right. So it's cheerful time. Yeah, you get to put your hand in your wallet. Or into your wife's wallet, your husband's wallet. Who's got a budget at home, in their home life, that it's written up? You know exactly what costs are, what the expenses are. If you don't have a budget, you're probably cruising for a bruising. Every family, every home needs a budget so that your output doesn't exceed your input. Does that make sense? If your output exceeds your input, then your upkeep will become your downfall. So we need a budget that stipulates what it is we spend money on so those things balance. Now, did you know, big letters, that the church also has a budget? Really? Oh, we thought the government paid you guys. Now, the church also has a budget. And a couple of months back, I spent a few weeks teaching on finances. Who was here at any of the finance teaching Sundays? We just kind of skipped through over about 3 or 4 weeks what the New Testament giving looks like and how it works in a new covenant, under grace, not under being compelled to give, not under condemnation and fear, but joyfully. Now, all that teaching is great, and it translates into... Oh, we ready to take up the offering? Sorry, can we do that? Let's take up the offering, and I'm going to keep on chatting up front, yeah? Who'd like to know what the church budget looks like? Anybody? If you're a visitor, you can just go on your phone and do crossword puzzles. If it's, but maybe for us, it might be interesting to know that what our budget looks like in terms of income and expenditure. So can I have that first slide up? Little small, but this is what it looked like last year. Now, that flat red line at the top, everyone see the flat red line? That was our average expenditure for 2014. And that's month by month what it looked like from January to December. And on the far left-hand column, you'll see from 50, 100, 150, 200, the amount. So that's what last year's income expenditure looked like. Now, the good news in that little bit of a depressing picture is that from time to time, UNISA come along to us. We never know if they're going to use us again. It's they use us, and then there's no promise of next time. But they come along, and they rent our facilities, and that brings in a little bit of money, which means they came to us at the beginning of last year, and then they came again to us towards the end of last year, and they came to us at the beginning of this year, which meant that blue line was equal to the red line. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The blue line and the red line met up. Okay. That's good news for us, or else that's not good news. Okay. Then the next slide shows you for this year what it's looked like. Slide number 2, January, February, March, April. You'll see the top red explanation is average expenditure January, February, March, April 2015. Average income, da-da-da-da, red line, blue line. Good news, UNISA said there's a big thing happening in government and there's a whole restructuring and redirecting of UNISA's and stuff, and they might not be using us again, but they came back to us a few weeks ago and said, no, we are going to use you. So they're using us, and it meant that our blue line and red line just about intersect at the top. So again, thank you, Lord. That's the answer to prayer. We prayed. That's good news. Now you might be looking at this graph and thinking, okay, that top average expenditure, 305. What does that look like? So slide number 3 is the your house budget on steroids. Okay? This is your house budget being accountant fees, audit fees, bank charges, consumables, insurance, admin, electricity, water, telephones, maintenance, stationery, tea, coffee, and cleaning, bond, which is our big one, giving, which is what we give out to people, ministries outside of our own thing here, garden service, multimedia, security insurance, medical aid, salaries, bus fare, wages, etc., SARS. Wow, that salaries is a big one, eh? No wonder Steve and Janet drive a BMW. Okay, that salary is divided between two elder couples, several admin staff, cleaning staff, and security staff. So, it's not just our salary. Anyway, but praise God, isn't that awesome that we've got a budget and we've got income, and our income is just under our budget by about 20 or so. But from time to time, just when we on the bones of our stomach, God comes along and we have an opportunity to for the red line and the blue line to connect. So I just thought I'd share that with you. We did Bible teaching. Now this is a bit more practical. Is that okay? Now that figure might look like a lot, 300,000. But if there are 100 families in the church, and each family feel to trust and get behind the vision of the local house, with 3,000 rand per family. Now I know some do more than that. They make up for 3 or 4 families. And some really can't do that and are way under that. And that's also understandable, where people just can't. But that's what it translates to. 100 families in the church, each praying and trusting God, I can get 3,000 rand behind this vision. And that's our budget. So there you go. We can't depend every 3 months that UNISA are going to come knocking on our door. But we can say, thank you, Lord, that we got a 25-year squeaky clean record that goes through an accounting firm every year, and is, okay, you can take it off now. Thanks. That's enough of that. Everybody got it? Understand where we are, what you are praying about, and all these wonderful things. Amen. Let's stand up quickly. Lord, I just thank you this morning that your brainwave was the local church. When it is well with the local church, your kingdom advances. And when your kingdom is advancing, it will go well in the world. And we thank you, Lord, that not only are we here representing the body of Jesus on earth in our group over here, but we thank you for the many other groups across the city and across the nation, across the continent and the continents of the world, where your people formed into a body, into churches, are proclaiming the gospel, providing community, and seeing the world changed around them. And we join our hearts together today for this city that you've placed us in. And we thank you, Lord, that it will go well in the churches, and your kingdom will be advanced. And this city is going to be transformed to the glory of God. Come on, church. Let's believe that this morning and say, thank you, Lord. We in agreement. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a difference between the church and the kingdom, as we looked at a few weeks ago. The kingdom is God's rule where things look like the way he intended them to look like. They come under his jurisdiction. The kingdom is where those who govern do so in righteousness, peace, and joy. Those who educate do so in righteousness, peace, and joy. Those who are in the arts and the media and in business live in an environment of righteousness, peace, and joy, because they are living in the kingdom of God, seeing miracles, breakthroughs, wisdom, knowledge happening around them. That happens when individuals have made Jesus Christ Lord. He can't be king where he's not Lord. So that's the kingdom. It's going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The church is made up, is the instrument through which his kingdom advances as people are saved, discipled, strengthened, built up, find community. Jesus loves his church, the Bible says. Jesus said, I will build my church. And we started a series a few weeks back, and I used this little catchphrase, when it goes well with the church, the kingdom will advance. When the kingdom advances, it'll go well with the world. I thought it might come up about now. Shame, I know a lot of pressure falls on the guys at the back over there. They're doing sound, and then they're doing projector videos and stuff, and then the sermon comes, and they don't even know it's the sermon yet. And so, well done to the guys at the sound desk. Appreciate it. And they need some help from time to time. So, okay. When it goes well with the church, the kingdom of God advances. When the kingdom of God advances, it'll go well with the world. We looked at 2 weeks ago that Jesus has given gifts. Say, I'm a gift. You are a gift. And when you as a gift know your place and know that he's given you to the church, it goes well in the church. And we looked at the whole subject of you being a gift. Last week, who was here to hear Janet's story, her trauma and tragedy of nearly being buried alive? She shared a message about, and she was up in Joburg helping her mom move, and the house was a hoarded, buried alive house, and the daughters all got involved in cleaning out the rubbish and trying to get things organized. What she forgot to tell you was that they had a 10-ton trailer that someone came and paid for the stuff, so they had to have it weighed to remove. That wasn't furniture and TVs and etc. It was just stuff. Not garden rubbish, just in-house rubbish. They had to get a 10-ton trailer to cart the stuff away. The 10-ton trailer had to do 12 or 13 11 trips. We're talking 110 tons of stuff. You say of what? Yeah, I also say of what, you know? I don't think your mom was in that trailer. Hey? I mean, that was just other stuff. That was like... And Janet spoke about when they were going through the house after it had been cleaned out, one of the cousins said, look, here's another room. And there was a door. And Janet didn't even know there was a door there. And a door that led down another passage. It was like, when you remove the clutter from your life, you find that there's other doors of opportunity just waiting to walk in. It was a great message, Jen. And we've all got some clutter in our lives that needs to be put in a 10-ton trailer. And as I went to bed last Sunday night and I was thinking about that picture, Lord just reminded me of when he went into the temple with a whip and he had to clean out some stuff. Remember that picture? Now, we don't live in an Old Testament temple anymore. We are the New Testament temple. But I think if we put spiritual glasses on, we might also see that there's a whip cracking just above our heads at times. A love whip come to take away the things that are blocking up the things we should be doing. Because that's all Jesus came to do in the temple. He said, my Father's house was a house of prayer. That's how you get rid of clutter. You just get the focus back on the main thing. You get the focus back on the primary purpose, and that takes care of the clutter. So if we're going to get rid of clutter as a New Testament temple, that's all we got to do. We got to just get our focus on the main thing. So can we do that this morning? Because when it goes well with the church, the kingdom of God will be advanced. And when the kingdom of God advances, it'll go well in the world. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. As you're turning there, well, you didn't have to because it came up so quick. We're going to look at a picture. The first mention of the church together in the Bible. Now, just to give you some, can I just offer off for a moment? Sorry, off, and then when I look at you again on. Oh, is there no blank in between? Okay. We need to work on that, Andrew. I need a blank. I know I did it on my iPad and that, but I'm just so technologically challenged. I get all fingers and hands and legs and feet. Let me just quick background to this. Is Jesus says he's going to build his church. Okay, his church is his instrument to enforce his kingdom on earth. Now, he gave them a message. He gave them a message to go and preach. That's why the first thing we see in Matthew 28 is, go make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything I've taught you, and I'll be with you to the end. And in Acts 1 verse 8, where he says, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea. That was the original commission. Jesus was in effect saying to them, I came and lived a message. Now I want you to take this message and tell the whole world. I came to remove condemnation. I came to qualify people. I came to live the life that nobody else could live and live it perfectly and then give it to those who'd receive it by faith. Jesus had an awesome message for this world. And he took a bunch of guys and said, I'm going to give you stewardship over this message. You go and preach it. He called them apostles, by the way. You go and preach it. And wherever you preach it, when people believe it, they will be saved. It was an awesome message. But hang on a minute. And I can just sense the Father looking down from heaven over the Son's finished work, over the Son's finished sacrifice of the blood. And he's probably looking at the Holy Spirit saying, wait a minute, he's about to say it now. And Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. He gave them a job, but he gave them the ability to get the job done. And the Father said, that's your cue. And the Holy Spirit was poured out. Wow. That was the first mention, the apostolic gospel to the world. Now, Peter gets up and preaches a message. 5,000 people hear it, respond, and now we have this first community that we call a church. Say the church. Jesus loves the church. Jesus is building the church. And this is the first mention of it in the Bible. Let's read together now. Thank you. Now we can have it. Okay. And they, this group of people who just heard the gospel and responded, devoted themselves. Nobody else could do that for them. Say, I have to devote myself. Okay, to the apostles' teaching, number one, and to the fellowship, number two, and to the breaking of bread, number three, and to prayer, number four. Everyone was filled with awe, number five. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles, number six. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Carry on. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And what were they doing? What we were doing this morning. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. So to answer your question, what did the early church look like? Thanks for asking that question. Is they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine. Well, what was the big deal about the apostles' doctrine? Well, the apostles had firsthand experience of Jesus' words, and they could pass them on. Because you know that for the first 250 years, there wasn't a book called the Bible like we have it now. It was given through the apostolic teaching. The apostles that had it firsthand, they passed it on to those we call the church fathers. And that's how the church got the message of Jesus. And in the midst of all this, in the first 100 years, Paul is writing letters from Jesus to churches, to the communities. And the church is gathering these, saying, we better compile these into some kind of manuscript of history, because soon our kids will be around. And you know how the broken down telephone works, eh? You get a bunch of people, you start there with a recipe on curry, and you end up here with poikikos. You know, just so they compiled these letters written to the churches, and they pulled them together. They pulled together the Old Testament scriptures, and there were very high qualifications what was put into that group canon we call the Bible. So we now have the apostolic teaching brought to us 2,000 years later. I mean, that is a miracle in itself. And the apostolic teaching was all about Jesus. If you read the Old Testament without Jesus' glasses on, you get all messed up. And you get stuck in all kinds of religious things. And that even goes for the New Testament. If we don't put Jesus' glasses on, finished work of the cross glasses on, better covenant. But we have the apostles' doctrine. Amen? And we're reading some of that today. And then there was, one verse up. There was fellowship. Because just hearing the gospel had to have an outworking. There had to be community. They broke bread with each other. And why did they do that? Because Jesus said, every time you do this, I'm in your presence and you're doing it in remembrance of me. Jesus participating with us. And prayer. We engage heaven's resources. In the same way Jesus had to be a praying person on earth, they learned how to pray. They were filled with awe, and there were signs and wonders. Amen. We need signs and wonders happening in the church. We don't pray for them, we won't get them. So let's keep praying for them. Believers were together. They had everything in common. And then they were also selling stuff and bringing it so that they could meet needs. And there was a very definite cultural experience going on. People had come from all over the world. And now, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, decided to stay there. But they needed jobs and homes and things. It's a bit like if we had a conference here with people all over the world, had an earthquake and cut us off. We'd suddenly have to turn this place into a sleeping dormitory, and people would bring meals and sell things. And it wasn't just to meet the needs of the poor, although that's very important. It was to meet the needs of those in their midst that had tried every way to get an income and who couldn't. Isn't that a beautiful picture of a generous community? Thanks for your great enthusiasm on that point. I know you're listening so deeply and you couldn't tear yourself out of the thoughts. Little amen now and then helps. Nice to know you're there and engaged, not somewhere else. So that was what that community looked like. And then into this community, God was adding daily those who were being saved. Say daily. You know, that means that didn't just happen on Sunday at an altar service. Do you get that? That means it wasn't just when the guy who did some speaking got up, the evangelist, and made an altar call. It meant daily, in your place of work, in your school, in your home, in your business, God is giving opportunities so that daily people were being added. Oh, come on, church. I mean, this is just so much what we were created for. This is worth giving up my life for. This, when I read this chapter, I go like, this is what the world needs. This is the hope of South Africa. This is what will transform a world right side up. When this message of generosity and God-centered and guilt-free living gets into government, gets into education, gets into the arts and the crafts, gets into a mother bringing up a child. When this gospel, this message of God's finished work and the cross gets into people's lives. In their community. Father was smiling down, and he's still smiling down. Because when it goes well with the church, the kingdom of God will advance. And when the kingdom of God is advancing, it's going to go well in our world. Give the Lord a praise this morning. Come on, that's good news. That's something to be excited about. This same community, down in chapter 13, something happens. We can read it, chapter 13, verse 1. In this church, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. These are the gifts now. Remember those gifts we spoke about? There were prophets and teachers and other guys and Saul. Verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Now this church is not just existing for itself, it's existing for others. The same Jesus who commissioned these apostles to go and preach this message everywhere, communities called churches are being formed, and now these communities are sending out. And then in chapter 14, after this journey of Paul and Barnabas, it says they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned the way they came, through Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. You see, faith prepares us also for enduring uncertainty in our lives and hardship and struggling. They said, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they put their trust. And after going through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And then they preached the word in Perga. They went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and they stayed there a long time with the disciples. So we see full circle. Can you see full circle? Jesus commissioned, church is born, church is healthy, church sends out gifts, gifts get on with the job and come back. And that's how these communities were connected, through these relationships of recognizing the apostolic ship in Paul as a gift to the church. This is the first mention in the Bible and in history of how the church operated. When it goes well in the church, the kingdom of God will advance. Amen. So how do we remove clutter from the church? How does Jesus swing this whip of love in our midst to remove things that are just getting in the way? It's like the branches that produced fruit last year, but now have blocked the way for new branches to come through. We don't have to get all introspective and heavy-handed and condemned. We just got to get the main thing, the main thing. What are we doing here this morning? We're just getting the main thing, the main thing. That's what church looks like when it's going well. Everything else then is identified as possibly scaffolding. You know you need scaffolding on a building from time to time? Do you know what scaffolding is, ladies? So it's big poles around the house when they're painting, so they don't all fall down. Again, when they're building. Sorry, I didn't mean that derogatory. Men, do you know what scaffolding is? It's all that infrastructure around the house so that helps build the house. But when the house is built, who wants to hang on to the scaffolding? Oh, that's such beautiful scaffolding. Let's start a ministry devoted to that scaffolding. Let's get a secretary to run that scaffolding. And a secretary's assistant. And a secretary's assistant's assistant. And then we'll have a meeting to plan the meeting for the meeting to talk about what color to paint the scaffolding. Can you see how getting sidetracked in the scaffolding will take you away from the main purpose? Now, this early church wasn't perfect, but led by the Holy Spirit, they were able to adapt and evolve and change to challenges that were coming their way to meet the needs. In chapter 6, there's a big outcry because the Hebrew widows were being overlooked from the Gentile widows, and then they had to start a ministry and appoint deacons and get a thing going. But we don't still have a ministry in the church called ministering to the Hebrew and Gentile widows. And you think that's crazy, Steve. But no, what I'm pointing out is churches hang on to stuff that was producing fruit in the last fruit season. in the same way in our lives, we hang on to clutter and we don't ask ourselves, what was the intention of the kitchen? What was the intention of the TV room? What was the intention of the bathroom? And when you find out what the original intention was, you know to get rid of everything in there that's not fulfilling the purpose of the things that it's supposed to do. So that's the church. What was your original intention? Maybe scaffolding is helpful for a while. You see, back then they didn't have the need of some of the, you know, maintenance stuff and having a building and income tax and salary for people to do jobs. They didn't have some of that stuff. And some of that stuff is scaffolding, and some of it is in scaffolding that's in need right now and in usefulness, but some of it isn't anymore. Are we big enough to load up the 10-ton trailer? Come on. Are we big enough to load up the 10-ton trailer of stuff that we might be saying, I really needed that. I really should have had that. Is everything okay here? We pray in Jesus' name, just for peace. Pray for a touch. Pray for healing. Is somebody with us, sister? Does someone want to go through? Oh, okay. So, if it had a great purpose for fruitfulness before, let's not just hang on to it, but let's keep the main thing the main thing. Are you ready if we start loading up some of the stuff you've been hanging on to? Because you know why hoarders hang on to stuff? Because they think they're going to use it again one day. Come on. Come on. Like, I don't want to throw away these used light bulbs, because one day one of the teenagers in the church is going to have a project needing a whole lot of light bulbs to paint. And then I'll be just the person they need to come to. So I've got 6 drawers of used light bulbs. And when somebody wants to take the light bulbs away, it's like, no, wait, hang on. I mean, you heard Janet's story last week. Kid you not. 32 cents tin of Koo beans and pushed in the back of the cupboard. Phenomenal. Now, that's what happens when we hang on to things. You know what the last 8 words of the dying church are? It's never been done this way before. Hello? I believe this. When we get the main thing is the main thing, the church, it will go well with the church. I believe that with all my heart. That this is a season of uncluttering and finding new doors. Amen? We're going to walk down the passage of the church and find out there's a new door that I never saw before. And it rhymes. Maybe you're feeling disjointed in your spiritual life. Maybe you're feeling disconnected. Maybe you're feeling frustrated. Maybe you're feeling scratchy. It might just be because the way to the door is all blocked up. Hello? And maybe we need some unblocking in our personal lives. Because if something is not opening the door to regular encounters with Jesus in my life, I want to tell you, you got clutter going on. We got to get rid of clutter. We can't hang on to that unforgiveness anymore. We can't hang on to that, well, you know, the church hurt me and they did this and that and I never got greeted. And we can't hang on to that anymore. We can't hang on to, well, this is my little ministry and this is all I do, and focus on one little aspect of glory and only give ourselves to that day in, day out, week in, week out. Say, oh, it's only about this. No, it's not only about that. We need that gift, and it is about that, but it's also about a whole lot of other stuff. And when we get focused and totally absorbed in one little area of ministry and one little thing we do, and we do it day in, day out, every time we come together, it's the same thing over and over and over, and it's like we're trying to force our cause, push our purpose on everybody, because that'll bring us satisfaction. We get distracted and we become sectarian. There's a reason why sects are formed. It's because they only take one aspect of worship, or one little aspect of evangelism, or one little aspect of something else, and that's all it is. Day after day after week, and they try and panel beat the Bible to fit in with that, and they try and... That's why I'm glad we focused on the gospel. You know, when you focused on grace, when you focused on the gospel, you focused on the main reason Jesus sent the church into the earth, was to bring good news. It's news that transforms communities. It's news that transforms families. The good news, without all the clutter and without all the garbage and all the other boxes, the plain, unapologized for, naked truth of grace sets people free. And if we keep them in freedom, they will keep producing fruit in their lives. And that's why I believe what Janet shared last week was prophetic for people in this place. We need to be honest and take an inventory on our lives and say, do I still have a purpose for that? Do I still have a reason for that? Because when you find the main purpose, and that's all we got to do as a church from time to time. Amen. Let's stand up together. New doors. I pray over you this morning. New doors of opportunity. I pray over your family. New doors of opportunity to walk through. As God cuts one branch, He doesn't do it in anger. He does it in love. When God lifts it off the floor, it's because He doesn't want it to be contaminated. He is propping up things and cutting off and pruning because He desires fruit. We pray for this church for open doors. We pray for Highway Christian Community, which is a planting of Jesus, who He loves in a unique way, like he's got a specific, unique love for this church that's made up of you and me. And He has got open doors that have been blocked up because of garbage. And this morning, we want to pray to heaven for wisdom. We want to pray to wisdom, for wisdom. In Jesus' name, I speak over your life, an open door. I speak over this church. Can you just join me for a moment and just declare that an open door for Highway into the future? That's a new season that's coming in. There's been a change. There's been a transition. There's been a disconstruction. There's been a time of uncertainty. There's been a time of frustration, but it's been through a time of pregnancy. There have been as dry bones of lay and just rattled around in the wilderness. God says, I am bringing it together. I'm breathing new life. There's a new door. Open your eyes and look before you. You will see. I will lead you into things you heard about, you dreamed about, you wanted, you longed for. But it's been lying dormant. It's been lying in a valley. It's been lying unused. And you felt like, I'm never going to get it. I'm never going to find that place. I'm never going to press through. But the Spirit of the Lord here this morning over those who say, I'm prepared to remove any clutter from my life that is unpleasing to the Holy Spirit. I'm willing to have cut off from my life anything that hinders or blocks. And this morning I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I'm yours. Jesus, let your blood come wash like that wave across the beach, moving dark messes, dark rocks, dark hindrances from our life. Let the wind of the Holy Spirit come and breathe through my life this morning. I'm prepared to have heavenly surgery. Put me under anesthetic, Lord, if you have to, but take away these things that are not bringing fruit anymore in my life. I want my life to count. I want the life of this church to count. I want to see souls added. I want to see people brought to Christ. I want to see churches planted. I want to see leaders released. I want to see a harvest. I want to see revival sweep through this nation. I want to see fires of revival. Revival, love, impact this continent. I want to see change come to government. I want to see change come in education. I want to see change come into every aspect and facet of culture. Lord, that's what I'm crying out. My life is too short to be spent on anything else. My life is too short to be sidetracked by anything else. I say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Show your glory, Lord. Show your power, Lord. Show your might, Lord. Show your strength. Let the nations bow. Let the people shake. Let the nations tremble and see the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. Cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. One life to live. One life to live. I choose to live it for Jesus. To Jesus. Come on, church. I choose to live it for the King of glory, for the one and only, the Savior, the King of my life.
I think that we should end this morning in a very similar way that we started. There's a prophetic declaration this morning, let God arise. So we're going to finish by declaring, let God arise over Pinetown, South Africa, throughout Europe, that the kingdom of God would arise in our hearts and our minds in every workplace. Johnny, take us.
The holy roar of God resound. Watch the waters part before us now. See what He has done for us. Tell the world of His great love. Our God is a God who saves. Oh, our God is a God who saves. God arise, let God arise. Our God reigns now and forever. Will run for sure. The church will stand, she will endure. Cause He holds the keys of life, our Lord. Death is no strength, no final word. Our God is a God who saves. Our God is a God. Let God arise, our God reigns now and forever, He reigns now and forever, our God arise, let God arise, our God reigns now and forever.
Come on, we give you praise, Lord, in this place. You reign over Highway. You reign over Durban. You reign over South Africa. Let the glory of the Lord cover this place. And as you go this week, my friend, as you go from this place into this week, I declare the protection of God over you. I declare the favor of God over you. I declare peace in your life. I declare prosperity over your business. I declare the love of God to be shown to you, brand new, like a mighty, mighty wind through your life for glory. Be blessed.
blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.